This brings us to our next LOS. Explain the rationale for using price multiples to value equity, how the price-to-earnings multiple relates to fundamentals, and the use of multiples based on comparables. Because the dividend discount model is very sensitive to its inputs, many investors rely on other methods. In a price multiple approach, an analyst compares a stock's price multiple to a benchmark value based on an index, industry group of firms, or a peer group of firms within an industry. Common price multiples used for valuation include price to earnings, price to cash flow, price to sales, and price to book value ratios. Price multiples are widely used by analysts and readily available in numerous media outlets. Price multiples are easily calculated and can be used in time series and cross-sectional comparisons. Many of these ratios have been shown to be useful for predicting stock returns, with low multiples associated with higher future returns. A critique of price multiples is that they reflect only the past, because historical or trailing data are often used in the denominator. For this reason, many practitioners use forward values, also called leading or prospective values. The use of projected values can result in much different ratios. An analyst should be sure to use price multiple calculations consistently across firms. When we compare a price multiple such as price to earnings for a firm to those of other firms based on market prices, we are using price multiples based on comparables. By contrast, price multiples based on fundamentals tells us that a multiple should be based on some valuation model and therefore are not dependent on the current market prices of other companies to establish value. The next LOS requires us to calculate and interpret the following multiples: price to earnings, price to an estimate of operating cash flow, price to sales, and price to book value. The price to earnings, or PE ratio, is a firm's stock price divided by earnings per share and is widely used by analysts and cited in the press. Price to sales, or PS ratio, is a firm's stock price divided by sales per share. The price to book value, or PB ratio, is a firm's stock price divided by book value of equity per share. The price to cash flow, or PCF ratio, is a firm's stock price divided by cash flow per share, where cash flow may be defined as operating cash flow or free cash flow. Other multiples can be used that are industry specific. For example, in the cable television industry, stock market capitalization is compared to the number of subscribers. To understand fundamental price multiples, consider the Gordon growth model, P0 equals D1 over K minus G. If we divide both sides of the equation by next year's projected earnings, E1, we get P0 over E1 equals D1 over E1 over K minus G. This is the leading PE for this stock if it is valued in the market according to the constant growth DDM. This PE based on fundamentals is also referred to as a justified PE. It is justified because, assuming we have the correct inputs for D1, E1, K, and G, the equation will provide a PE ratio that is based on the present value of the future cash flows. We refer to this as a leading PE ratio because it is based on expected earnings next period, not on actual earnings for the previous period, which would produce a lagging or trailing PE ratio. One advantage of this approach is that it makes clear how the firm's PE ratio should be related to its fundamentals. It illustrates that the PE ratio is a function of D1 over E1, the expected dividend payout ratio, K, the required rate of return on the stock, and G, the expected constant growth rate of dividends. For example, if a firm has an expected dividend payout ratio of 60%, a required rate of return of 11%, and an expected dividend growth rate of 5%, its expected PE ratio is 0.6 divided by the quantity 0.11 minus 0.05, which equals 10. The justified P/E ratio serves as a benchmark for the price at which the stock should trade. In the previous example, if the firm's actual P/E ratio based on the market price and expected earnings was 16, the stock would be considered overvalued. If the firm's market P/E ratio was 7, the stock would be considered undervalued. P/E ratios based on fundamentals are very sensitive to the inputs, especially the denominator K-G. So the analyst should use several different sets of inputs to indicate a range for the justified P/E. Since we started with the equation for the constant growth DDM, the P/E ratio calculated in this way is the P/E ratio consistent with the constant growth DDM. We can see from the formula that, other things equal, the P/E ratio we have defined here will increase with a higher dividend payout rate, a higher growth rate, or a lower required rate of return. So, if the subject firm has a higher dividend payout ratio, higher growth rate, or lower required return than its peers, a higher P/E ratio may be justified. In practice, other things are not equal. An increase in the dividend payout ratio, for example, will reduce the firm's sustainable growth rate. While higher dividends will increase firm value, a lower growth rate will decrease firm value. This relationship is referred to as the dividend displacement of earnings. The net effect on firm value of increasing the dividend payout ratio is ambiguous. As intuition would suggest, firms cannot continually increase their P/E or market values by increasing the dividend payout ratio. Otherwise, all firms would have 100% payout ratios. Valuation based on price multiple comparables involves using a price multiple to evaluate whether an asset is valued properly relative to a benchmark. Common benchmarks include the stock's historical average, a time series comparison, or similar stocks and industry averages, a cross-sectional comparison. Comparing firms within an industry is useful for analysts who are familiar with a particular industry. Price multiples are readily calculated and provided by many media outlets. The economic principle guiding this method is the law of one price, which asserts that two identical assets should sell at the same price, or in this case, two comparable assets should have approximately the same multiple. The analyst should be sure that any comparables used really are comparable. Price multiples may not be comparable across firms if the firms are different sizes, are in different industries, or will grow at different rates. Furthermore, using P/E ratios for cyclical firms is complicated due to their sensitivity to economic conditions. In this case, the P/S ratio may be favorable over the P/E ratio because the sales are less volatile than earnings due to both operating and financial leverage. The disadvantages of using price multiples based on comparables are that a stock may appear overvalued by the comparable method, but undervalued by the fundamental method, or vice versa. Different accounting methods can result in price multiples that are not comparable across firms, especially internationally, and price multiples for cyclical firms may be greatly affected by economic conditions at a given point in time. Our next LOS asks us to describe enterprise value multiples and their use in estimating equity values. Enterprise value, or EV, measures total company value. EV can be viewed as what it would cost to acquire the firm. EV equals the market value of common stock plus the market value of debt minus cash and short-term investments. Cash and short-term investments are subtracted because an acquirer's cost for a firm would be decreased by the amount of the target's liquid assets. Although an acquirer assumes the firm's debt, it receives the firm's cash and short-term investments. Enterprise value is appropriate when an analyst wants to compare the values of firms that have significant differences in capital structure. EBITDA, or earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, are subtracted, is probably the most frequently used denominator for EV multiples. Operating income can also be used. Because the numerator represents total company value, it should be compared to earnings of both debt and equity owners. An advantage of using EBITDA instead of net income is that EBITDA is usually positive even when earnings are not. When net income is negative, value multiples based on earnings are meaningless. A disadvantage of using EBITDA is that it often includes non-cash revenues and expenses. A potential problem with using enterprise value is that the market value of a firm's debt is often not available. In this case, the analyst can use the market values of similar bonds or can use their book values. Book value, however, may not be a good estimate of market value if firm and market conditions have changed significantly since the bonds were issued. The next LOS is to describe asset-based valuation models and their use in estimating equity value. Our third category of valuation model is asset-based models, which are based on the idea that equity value is the market or fair value of assets minus the market or fair value of liabilities. Because market values of firm assets are usually difficult to obtain, the analyst typically starts with the balance sheet to determine the values of assets and liabilities. In most cases, market values are not equal to book values. Possible approaches to valuing assets are to value them at their depreciated values, inflation-adjusted depreciated values, or estimated replacement values. Applying asset-based models is especially problematic for a firm that has a large amount of intangible assets, on or off the balance sheet. The effect of the loss of the current owner's talents and customer relationships on forward earnings may be quite difficult to measure. Analysts often consider asset-based model values as floor or minimum values when significant intangibles, such as business reputation, are involved. An analyst should consider supplementing an asset-based valuation with a more forward-looking valuation, such as one from a discounted cash flow model. Asset-based model valuations are most reliable when the firm has primarily tangible short-term assets, assets with ready market values, such as financial or natural resource firms, or when the firm will cease to operate and is being liquidated. Asset-based models are often used to value private companies, but may be increasingly useful for public firms as they move toward fair value reporting on the balance sheet. Our final LOS for this topic is to explain advantages and disadvantages of each category of valuation model. Advantages of discounted cash flow models. They are based on the fundamental concept of discounted present value and are well-grounded in finance theory, and they are widely accepted in the analyst community. Disadvantages of discounted cash flow models. Their inputs must be estimated, and value estimates are very sensitive to input values. Advantages of comparable valuation using price multiples. Evidence that some price multiples are useful for predicting stock returns. Price multiples are widely used by analysts. Price multiples are readily available. They can be used in time series and cross-sectional comparisons. EV to EBITDA multiples are useful when comparing firm values independent of capital structure or when earnings are negative and the PE ratio cannot be used. Disadvantages of comparable valuation using price multiples. Lagging price multiples reflect the past. Price multiples may not be comparable across firms if the firms have different size, products, and growth. Price multiples for cyclical firms may be greatly affected by economic conditions at a given point in time. A stock may appear overvalued by the comparable method, but undervalued by a fundamental method, or vice versa. Different accounting methods can result in price multiples that are not comparable across firms, especially internationally. And a negative denominator in a price multiple results in a meaningless ratio. The P/E ratio is especially susceptible to this problem. Advantages of price multiple valuations based on fundamentals. They are based on theoretically sound valuation models, and they correspond to widely accepted value metrics. Disadvantages of price multiple valuations based on fundamentals. Price multiples based on fundamentals will be very sensitive to the inputs, especially the K-G denominator. Advantages of asset-based models. They can provide floor values. They're most reliable when the firm has primarily tangible short-term assets, assets with ready market values, or when the firm is being liquidated. And they are increasingly useful for valuing public firms that report fair values. Disadvantages of asset-based models. Market values are often difficult to obtain. Market values are usually different than book values. They are inaccurate when a firm has a high proportion of intangible assets or future cash flows not reflected in asset values, and assets can be difficult to value during periods of high inflation.